This is TWiT.
Now, what is it going to take for organizations to continually hire and stay on top of cybersecurity? Pretty good question, right? Well, the people they hire will need to be qualified, of course, but qualified in a different way with maybe even a different recipe for success. Well, people coming out of school certainly have good training in cybersecurity-related areas like penetration testing or threat hunting, cybersecurity and cryptography. But what you will notice is that sometimes they're actually lacking some of the basic understanding of data communication, and we're more reliant on tools and techniques that actually have, you know, that actual knowledge on the job kind of things. Now, cybersecurity is a complex discipline that needs to evolve and expand over time. And it's been doing so at an exponential rate alongside the digital revolution. Now, what you learn this week might already be obsolete next week in the cybersecurity world. Now, hence, a traditional 3 or 5 year university degree in cybersecurity will be most likely out of date as soon as it's issued. Looking at this way, the important thing to study becomes the underlying fundamentals, like how the technology operates, or how is it connected, how it communicates, how to exploit it later, and how it will continually change the technology itself over time, and how we use that change. Now, where does this leave us now, right? Do we teach students to combat fake news and digital vigilantes on social media, or how about new technologies like cloud computing or big data or AI and machine learning? And in fact, what does the chief security information officer or chief information officer do, and how do they make sure that they're delivering on your confidentiality, integrity, and availability objectives with triple degree in computer science, international law, and global politics? Well, a lot of good questions here, right? And I'm going to bring my co-host just in a second to maybe get their second thoughts here. But the discipline is ever changing, and it's all encompassing. And that means that some of the successful CISOs out there of the future will be those who have more broader thoughts here, and actually who can see the broader threats and compose the best teams to address them. And that means looking outside the box for qualified, motivated candidates. Now, another issue, cybersecurity continues to be understaffed. We have all heard the news on this, and we've heard the stories on it. There continues to be this case, according to ISACA's State of Cybersecurity 2021 report, 61% of respondents indicated their cybersecurity teams are understaffed, and 55% say they actually have unfilled cybersecurity positions. Now, not only that, but teams need candidates who understand law and regulatory compliance and didactics, and never forget marketing and communications. Now, we just talked about how cybersecurity is always changing and it's difficult for professionals to keep up. But what will make them want to keep up? Well, motivation, of course. And cybersecurity is a volatile discipline, and that means it needs people who continuously want to develop themselves and stay up to date. Now, we also need to remember that prior hands-on cybersecurity experience will not prevent the digital threats of tomorrow. We have to continue to learn and continue to evolve. Now, those will come from actually motivated adversaries working on new technologies and thinking about outside the box. And if we stand still, we'll never win. We need to be just as creative and just as motivated. Now, one move to overcome the shortage of cyber skills and skills in cybersecurity is to be more open-minded when we're hiring potential candidates. We don't just need hackers, right? We need individuals capable of critical thinking, independent thought, and the ability to actually challenge those complex problems. Now, a company can achieve greatness here, for sure, but it takes good processes, planning, and, good people. Now, I want to bring my co-host in here because this is an important topic. Chibert, I want to throw this to you first. Is this a case of just more informed CISOs and hiring people, or are there other business components at work here that need to be done?
Actually, I think this solution or the problem actually has a much, much longer tail than a lot of people think. The reality is I've dealt a lot with college students. And obviously, I was working at the University of Hawaii. I was working with quite a few different universities on various projects. And the reality is the students that are coming out of these programs don't understand the underlying technology. The very fact that one of my buddy's favorite questions when he's hiring a new person is, name a layer 3 device. And 99% of the time, they just look at him with a blank stare. Now, cybersecurity is one of those rare fields where you have to constantly be getting yourself updated. There's a long learning process. You don't get a degree and then just stop. So here's a trick. Back in the days when there's lots of magazines, I would get two subscriptions to an industry magazine. I'd tear out the articles that looked really interesting, slap a staple through it, and stack those up next to my favorite bathroom where I do my business. The reality is keeping up is a really big challenge. Now, in this day of clicking on the story, you're obviously going to have to start listening to different people, podcasts, blogs, and so forth. But keep in mind, the entry level for a blog is very, very low. So that means you're going to have to weed through all these different people to try and get a better feel on their opinions. So to the HR people, you're going to have to stop just looking at formulas. Some of the very best talent that I've hired in the past have horrible resumes. Stop using your HR cap. Let the subject matter experts look at the resumes, look at the information behind them, because there's an awful lot of really, really good talent that fits into the wild, wild west of cybersecurity. And HR groups are passing these talents off wholesale. And I'll just bet you Kurt's chomping at the bit because he's had to hire a lot of this very same kind of talent.
I agree. Let's go over to Kurt because you talk to a ton of cybersecurity professionals out there. Obviously, it's just not traditional education they need, right?
Oh, it's not. And one of the things that I hear most often from cybersecurity professionals is that when someone is coming into the field, one of the credentials they look for the most is participation in Capture the Flag. You know, this is seen as a real way to show a couple of things. One is genuine interest in the subject, and the other is real world experience. Now, they realize that most people are not going to get the skills they need to succeed in a Capture the Flag competition in a classroom setting. Relatively few universities are teaching Capture the Flag 101. Instead, in the academic setting, you're going to get some foundation pieces. But for today's technology, for today's techniques, for today's threat vectors, nothing beats working on a Capture the Flag team. This also points out something else that's critically important, and that is for all of the image of the lone hacker or the lone defender working, you know, deep in an unlit room somewhere, hoodie in place, most cybersecurity is a team effort. Being able to make the contacts, work within the team, and share knowledge is critical for cybersecurity success. And the fact is, most cybersecurity professionals, and especially most of those who take part in activities like Capture the Flag, are eager to share with someone coming into the field. And so it's important that the subject matter experts, the hiring professionals, convey this to the HR team. Find a way within the HR framework to put Capture the Flag participation as one of the primary qualifications, maybe even more important than that dearly beloved academic qualification. And Lou, based on what you said, all of the areas that you talked about in this article are important: the business expertise, the legal expertise, the regulatory expertise. But with just a little bit of work, it's possible to build a requirements list that's impossible for anyone to fulfill until they're my age. You know, it just takes a long time to get a law degree a master's in engineering, a master's in international relations, plus 10 years of junior cybersecurity expertise. So why not be realistic? Look for some training, but more important, look for that real world experience, even or perhaps especially if it comes through activities like Capture the Flag that are designed to give people the experience they need to get started in this field.
Right. I agree. I think that one of the hardships here is, you know, you obviously get the interview by your resume, and that's a hard challenge sometimes, because some people will, you know, obviously get the interview by their skill set. But once they're in the interview, once they're part of that process, they need to be vetted. They need to be ensured that they can do the things that they need to do. And that is problem solved. That's continuous learning. That is, you know, that is solve the tough challenges. Now, Cheever, you know, you've worked with and you've probably interviewed a lot of people before. In fact, even your wife has probably interviewed a lot of people before. And how is it that you're going to extract some of those skills that are not necessarily on paper all the time?
Well, my wife is a way great manager. I'm a team lead. So knowing your limitations is like most of the battle right there. One of her things is she got so upset with these new young HR people that she said, stop, quit mucking with them. Send me the raw applications. And she and her second in command sat there and they went through and tried to read between the lines. She found some really, really good talent that were really loyal because she looked beyond just the HR view of the world. So here's one thing I would like to send out to human resource people. Stop sitting in this old mold. You need to sit there and start taking a good hard look at personalities. Can the teams work together? I think that is even more important than experience. Can they work together? Because when teams work together, they build experience exponentially. And that, I think, is why I had such a powerful team in the federal government and why my students did so well. And my students helped build Fedora. So maybe I'm doing it right. I don't know. You tell me.